let's pray. God, that is what we're going after. That's what this whole journey has been about, is that we want to go to a higher ground, and that's been happening all around this place. For many of us, God, you've taken us to new places. We've had defining moments over these last number of weeks, and God, we just thank you for that. And today, God, we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate all that you have been doing in this place, in the lives of individual people, as you've been calling us to something bigger, to something higher. And we just want to celebrate today. We want to pause and celebrate that. And God, as I share a little bit today, as we have others that come up onto this platform, God, I just ask that all of our words today would connect with our hearts. And most of all, God, they would just be a big thank you to you for what you've been doing. God, we pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Awesome. Anybody having fun yet today? Man, I tell you what, last 2 weeks, it has been exciting here, and it just keeps continuing. Today is a celebration, and I don't know about you, but I don't celebrate enough. We like to throw little parties and big parties in our house, but at the same time, sometimes these big events in life happen, and you just kind of keep on rolling through. And so today, we're really going to kind of pause, and it's going to be a service that's a little different than the normal service we do here at Cross Point, but we're going to celebrate what God has been doing here over these last 5 weeks. And if you're newer to Cross Point, or this is your first time with us today, let me just tell you what, strap in. We've been in one of the most intense seasons ever here at Cross Point, and the things that have been happening are absolutely amazing. And today you're going to hear some stories. As Eric said, in a few minutes, we're going to reveal the numbers that came in from the launch launch campaign commitments. Some of you can't wait. I mean, you've been like texting me all week, well, what's the numbers? What are we doing? You're going to hear that. It's exciting. But listen, it's not just about that. I mean, it's way more than that. And it's been about what God has been doing in the hearts and lives of people, and it's been just really, really cool. So you're going to hear some of these stories today of what God has been doing. But before we do that, I want to first introduce Joe Smith. Joe, come on up here and join me. Help me welcome Joe to the platform. And Joe, great to have you here, by the way. Joe is with S&B Construction, and we've spent a lot of time with Joe and Alan and Brad and his team, and these are our contractors that are going to be working on our project that's going to be getting underway here in a couple months, late this spring.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, one of the unique things that happens with churches and nonprofits is there's an opportunity for us to reduce the cost of our building based on people that you know, based on your network with people. And so, Joe is here to talk a little bit about this concept of linkage, and so he's going to explain that and how we can actually bring down through people you know the cost and bring people into this project that you might know. So explain to us how that goes, Joe.
Yes, my name is Joe Smith, and honestly, that is my real name. I promise that you're not going to end up with a treehouse out there. But it's really unique too, because our design team is based out of Utah. So imagine the fun I have when I go into Salt Lake City and I go down to Temple Square just on purpose to mess with them, and I tell them, "What's your name?" "My name's Joe Smith." So we have a lot of fun doing that. But we're here to talk to you this morning about linkage. And linkage really is just who you know. And that's what we need. We want to impact the budget of this project as much as we possibly can, and we can do that with your help. We want you to come along on the journey side by side with us. We're going to do the work. I just want to know who you know. Could be a plumber, an electrician, could be HVAC, could be carpeting, could be furnishings of any kind. We want to know who those people are that you know, because when you bring them on board with us, we're going to contact them, cast the vision of what Cross Point wants to do to impact this community and drive down the cost of the budget. So that's what we want to do. We have a table set up back there that you can come and talk with us. We'll answer any of your questions. We got a sign-up sheet that you can give us the information, tell us how you're linked to them. It's just people you know. Or you may be in the congregation, say, "Hey, I'm a painter. I'd like to help out." Let us know. We want to know that. We want to know the people you know, because when you do that, we can drive that budget down, because we don't want you borrowing more money than you have to. You don't need to be owing people a lot of money. Let's drive that budget down. The other thing that we like to do is called gift in kind. There may be someone here this morning who says, "Hey, you know what? I'd like to step up and maybe gift to the church. I'll buy the heating and air conditioning, or I'll buy a carpet for one room, or I'll buy I'll furnish a room." That's gift in kind. We want to know that too. And so that's what we use to do all of this. And it's a great process. We'll do all the work. We just need you to tell us who to go to.
Yeah, and so basically, if somebody has somebody on their mind that just came to their mind sitting here in the seats today, they can come back to your table, and then you're going to have them fill out a form and basically take it from there.
Exactly. It's a real simple form. Just name who they are, how you're linked to them, and that's all we need to know. And we'll contact them. We'll bring them to the table. We'll cast the vision, and we'll work them with like that. And I'll tell you what, you guys, as Chris said, you guys need to strap in. When you have launched out there and you call it the launch pad, you guys are getting ready in just a few months, maybe even quicker. You are getting ready to go straight vertical, and it's going to happen. I've seen it happen over and over where churches do this, and they just launch out, and it goes straight vertical. And you got a guy like PJ playing higher ground. I'm telling you what, that brought me back to old days. I was sitting on the front row. I said, I don't know if I should get up and bust a move or not. They don't know me. Kurt may go, my God, what have I done?
Now you can see, like, you know, you start talking construction people, you can see why we like SMB, right? I mean, they fit right in with our persona of who we're about. And so anything else we need to know about linkage? Main thing is if you have any connections, if you work at Chick-fil-A, we want to know that because we want to serve the construction team on the site, you know, and maybe you can help get us a reduced meal or, you know, donate meals so we can be a blessing even as the project's going.
Absolutely. Anything at all. Don't think, well, they wouldn't want that. Come back and talk to us. We'll reach out to them.
Awesome. Let's thank Joe for being here today. Make sure you stop and talk to him. Thanks, Joe. Sure. You know, let me tell you what, this is, it's going to be an exciting ride. It really is, and I don't know, I was not prepared for what took place, not just last weekend, but really over the last 5 weeks. I mean, we knew this was going to be exciting. As Joe said, anytime, you know, we call a project the launch or the launch campaign. I mean, you know, we want people seeing what's happening over there at Silverstone and Oleo saying, what, is this like a rocket launch pad? I mean, what is this? I mean, we want to, and that kind of buzz is already taking place. There were people at the prayer experience last weekend driving by, seeing this 24-hour prayer thing going on with tents, and the coordinators, Chris Sparrow, said, hey, the launch has begun, all right? The impact is already being felt in the community, and so exciting stuff, and, you know, guys, it's really been moving through this community. In fact, if you were at one of the advanced briefings or maybe saw the kind of one of the videos we put together for the launch campaign, you may have seen this scripture, but I want to remind us of it because the prophet Habakkuk just said something phenomenal that I believe is taking place right now. Here's what he said in verse 5, Habakkuk chapter 1, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. And listen, I wish I could tell you all of the stories that I've been hearing, people texting me, calling me, stopping me, you know, at the mall, I mean, different places saying, hey, I can't wait to tell you what God's been doing or how this breakthrough happened or that. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. And instead of me doing that, I want you to hear some of those today. I want you to hear some of the stories of how people have, God's just shown up in their life in one way or the other, outside the realm of what we've expected. And so help me welcome to the platform, Sherry Wilhite. Wherever you are, Sherry, come join me. And Sherry sent me an email after week two, and it started this way. She said, my parents were at Cross Point this weekend, and I know they're not a part of your target audience. Well, that makes me really nervous. And I usually, you know, scan the email, go to the bottom to see how it ends, if it ends good or bad, because I'm like, I'm not sure if this was good or not. And so, you know, and it was really cool because Sherry's parents are former pastors. We're in ministry for 30, 40 years, served a couple of different churches. We're in visiting that weekend. It was the weekend that my wife and I kind of shared, you know, what we were bringing to the table, how we were working through the sacrifice that we were bringing, and just trying to give a picture and showing that we're modeling this and leading this. And, you know, your dad is sitting out in the audience almost wanting to jump up saying, hey, we've done this. We've been here. We've lived this. You know, many of us are kind of questioning, can we really carry through? Is God really going to be faithful? And so he's excited to be here. And then the cool part out of that is he writes Sherry a 3-page letter as a result of being here that day, just beginning to share with her and her brother all of the ways God has been faithful over the last 40 years in their life and how proud he is of you following that same example. And take us back to when you got that. I mean, what was it like to receive that? I mean, not the, you know, we're talking fundraising and money and journeys, and here you get a letter of blessing from your parents, from your dad.
Yes, of course it was really special. I definitely was emotional reading the whole letter. I knew some things that he had written, but I didn't know everything. And he, even in that moment, my dad was obedient to God because it was written to me for my birthday. My birthday isn't until April. And he gave this to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it was at the perfect time in my life that I needed it. I was struggling with a lot of things. I was really like wrestling with some things going on in my life and giving financially for another and an extra 3 years. And this letter came and it just like hit me really hard. And I knew exactly that I knew what I was doing or what I was struggling with, this letter was encouraging me, just do it. Just do it. This is what God wants you to do. Just be obedient.
And as you read that, I mean, obviously you lived some of what he shared. Did you have any idea of the magnitude of sacrifice your parents had as they went through leading churches and caring for you as children? And I mean, did you have any idea of that?
I had a little glimpse of it because as a pastor's kid, you're aware of the time that your parents are gone. And those are the times that they're helping other people. And now as an adult, I love that about my parents. When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I did not get it. I was just kind of upset. But from that and from this letter, like, I know that that's what God wants me to do. God wants me to live sacrificially because it's worth it. It's worth all the time and the effort that I give. And this letter proved it. And for me, living sacrificially is volunteering or maybe growing my hair out for lacks of love and encouraging my husband to volunteer and to help my friends when they need it and to mentor people. So I knew that that's what God wanted me to do in this letter. Pretty much was proof that it's all worth it. And like Kurt said, it's 3 pages of this is what God wanted me to do, and this is how God blessed me. Maybe I didn't recognize it at the time, but 40 years later, when I'm all done, my life is complete, and I know, my parents knew that it was all worth it. All the sacrifices, all the time, it was all worth it. Even with the risks involved from, you know, maybe being separated from our families, from, you know, from their kids. My parents, they took on the risk of being paid part-time, working full-time. They got paid $120 a week when full-time was $200 at the time. and they had committed to giving 20% of that. $120, 20% is $24. And that's, out of a month, that's about 1 month's paycheck. Or 1 week's paycheck, sorry. And that's a lot. I don't know if we could do that.
And I know, you know, what's really cool is this, the sign. Sometimes we don't see how God's faithful until we're at the end, you know, and we can look back. We can't always see it at the moment. And I know you saw a lot of that. I know you have an excerpt you want to read.
Right.
That just kind of captures that.
I'm going to read a couple parts here. So at the beginning of the letter, my dad wrote, "At the end of the sermon, I wanted to tell everyone your mom and I have lived a surrendered life and made sacrifices over the years for the kingdom of God. From our vantage point now, we can say it has been worth every sacrifice. We have never been able to outgive God." And at the end of the letter, this is specifically to me and my brother. He writes, "God is using you and wants to keep using you. Continue to be a living sacrifice for God, and he will bless you in ways you may not see until you retire or get to heaven. Don't ever think for 1 minute you can make such a great sacrifice, God won't bless you back. You can never outgive God. It may not come back in the same form as it is given, but it will come back later, better." And, I mean, of course, as a kid, for my parents to say that and to see that out of me was huge. And that's what I want to do for my kids. Like, 40 years from now, I want to write that letter to my kids saying it was all worth it. Every time that I called a friend back or I volunteered or I helped these teen moms, like, I want them to know that it's worth it. And this is because this is what God wants me to do. And eventually he may bless me tomorrow. He may bless me, you know, when I'm 90, or I may never see those blessings, but maybe my kids will. But all of that is worth it. And that's what this letter was for me. It was proof that everything that I do, it is worth it.
And I love the theme. You know, it doesn't matter what you think you've given, you can't outgive God. Now, I'm not going to ask you how old you're going to be in a couple weeks, but how cool is it for an adult to receive a letter from a parent, a blessing, a letter of blessing that means so much? Awesome. Thank you for sharing this.
I do want to say one more thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kurt didn't share this in the email that I wrote him, but I thanked him for saying what he said that Sunday, because it had such a great effect on my parents that they were able to bless me and encourage me at just the time that I needed it. And that would not have happened if you weren't obedient to God and said what you said. Yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks. Thanks, Shay. You know, this is some of the stuff that has been going on. And let me tell you what, again, you know, it's just been exciting. It's been cool to see how God has been moving. And you know, these little stories that just change. I mean, this changes. This changed the trajectory for Sherry right here. And you know, we looked a few weeks ago, last weekend, in fact, we looked as we just went through this process of surrender and listening and then just doing it, as she said. You're just following through and saying, God, I'm going to be faithful to what you've been asking me to do. You know, we looked at this story last weekend, if you were not with us, it was one of the craziest financial offerings ever in the Bible. And there was this woman who Jesus was hanging out in this circle of some of his friends. He's kind of doing life with them, and there's some people hanging out on the fringes. And this woman comes out of the middle of nowhere, and she grabs this, she brings this perfume bottle, and she just breaks this thing, and she begins to pour it over Jesus' head. And for her, this was a moment where, you know, this was like a year's worth of perfume. And this was a moment for her where she just realized, you know, I need to do something right here. There's something I need to do to just show God what he means, what Jesus means. These are very rare opportunities that you get to actually be with Jesus. I'm going to do something lavish. I'm going to be very aggressive about it. And as she breaks this jar of perfume, it's not this big, 12 ounces, but a year's worth of wages, you know, people around start getting upset. They're like, what is she doing? You know, what is she doing? She's wasting that. And look at what Jesus said to her. Jesus said, real quickly, quieted the crowd, he said, she did what she could. And what he meant by that was, hey, she brought her best. And what might be lavish for you might not be lavish for me, and what's lavish for me might not be for you, but what is our best is what's lavish, and that's what this woman brought. She was lavish, aggressive, and she seized the opportunity and said, there are not many moments like this that come. Let me tell you what, last weekend, you know, Cross Point, that's what many of you did. I mean, this tribe realized this is a very rare opportunity. And we realized that this is a time where we have the opportunity to make an impact, a dent in our community that's going to change the trajectory of lives for generations to come. Let me tell you what, you guys brought your A game last weekend. Let me just tell you, it's going to be exciting in just a moment. And it's just cool to see how this came about. And so I know many of us, we've been awaiting the results. You've been awaiting the results. You guys want to know what the results were? All right, let me bring John Satinga up. He's going to come up. He's our director of operations. Welcome, John, joining me up here today. And as he comes, I want to thank a few people. You know, this kind of stuff does not take place without a team of people who are sweating side by side. And so, you know, sweat is kind of the glue that holds a community together. And by the way, I think it's great that we need goggles, you know, at church. Any day that you need safety goggles in church is a great day. And so, you know, but there are many people. I know some of you were sweating the commitments you made last weekend, all right? You were sweating this thing. And there are many people who put sweat equity into making the last 5 weeks happen. And I just want to thank them. I want to thank John for the role he played. He's on the tip of the spear of leading this thing. Our other staff, Tori and PJ and Eric and Leela, and then I want to thank our campaign team, Greg Bell, who's very much behind the scenes giving leadership to this thing, to Leela Austin, Brian Austin, to Brenda Palmer, Katie Hevesy, and Chris and Jelaine Sparrow, people that made this happen. Let's thank them for being able to bring us to this point. Now, last weekend, we placed in this jar our 3-year commitments. We realized, you know, this kind of was symbolic of this woman who surrendered a year's worth of wage and said, hey, I'm bringing what I can, I'm doing what I can, and we placed these 3-year commitments in this jar. And I think it would only be fitting, if she broke this thing wide open, that we would do the same, right? So, now if you remember our campaign goal... All right, our goal for this deal, and this wasn't really our goal. This was, we really felt impressed to stretch the building. We knew what we could do in a building, and we just felt like to prepare for the community and create space for people that we believe from our community are going to continue to come and see Jesus for who he really is through Cross Point. We need to expand and create more space, which added to the project cost, which was about the total of what this amount is. $625,000 was the minimum we needed to get this thing off the ground. And we said from the beginning, we said, you know, anything we raise toward that goal will just help us be one step further. And so, you guys ready?
Yes.
All right, so here we go. And, all right, so here campaign commitment goal is?
Wait. Can I take a picture of all the safety goggles?
Oh.
It's like American. It's like American Idol. We got to wait. We're going to stretch it. All right. Thank you.
All right, so your campaign, launch campaign commitment goal is $944,000, 1.5 times. Let's stand. Go ahead and stand with us, and let's thank God for this incredible movement that he did through this community. You bring in your A game, and you're going to see some images of things that took place over the last 5 weeks as we just celebrate and sing hallelujah. Hallelujah is getting reckless before God, so let's just thank God for a few moments. Let's pray for just a moment. God, we are in awe of what you've been doing in this place and what you've done through this community, through this tribe, whose hearts are just relentlessly bent toward you. And God, even seeing some of those images on the screen there, those lights that increasingly grew even last weekend as we talked about the lives that have been touched and people that have come into this place and experienced Jesus, all their friends experienced Jesus, and by the end that room is filled and lit with light. And God, it just overwhelms us to realize that you are doing something beyond what we can even begin to fathom or believe. And so God, we're just getting glimpses of it today. We're excited that we're not in control of this journey, but you're in control of it. And for some of us, God, we're still, you know, looking forward, saying, how are we going to walk these commitments out? How are we going to continue to walk in an increased level of faith? And yet, God, we're going to experience that you are faithful. And so we just ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us. God, that's our heart's desire in your name. Amen. Awesome. You go ahead and have a seat. Now, in these next few moments, I'm going to leave this glass here as just kind of a symbol of what we're doing, and we are going to bring some babies up here in a little bit, so I'm going to clean it up a little bit. But, you know, it's been cool, and we just thought it would be fitting that as we celebrate what God is doing through this journey, that we also celebrate today on the celebration weekend through the act of parents bringing their children who they want to dedicate to God. And in a real sense, a child dedication is as much a parent dedication. And throughout these last, you know, 5 weeks, we've been talking a lot about surrender. We've been talking a lot about listening and just following through and what God is calling us to do. And we're going to carry that through into this baby child dedication here in just a moment. Now, before we do the ceremony and bring these families up here, I want you to hear another story of how God has been moving in the lives of a young family here at Cross Point. So help me welcome Chris, Holly, and Emma to the platform. Now, Chris and Holly have been here at Cross Point since really the beginning. They were part of our initial launch team. Every now and then somebody says, who are the people that were here that helped get this thing off the ground? Well, here's two of them right here. They've been with us since the very, very beginning. And 3 years ago, you guys made a crazy campaign commitment that I know you've shared with this community really stretched you. You really felt impressed to be obedient to what God was stirring in you. And take us back to that moment. Just walk us through a little bit of what happened over those 3 years as you made that.
Well, if you talk to our Life Together group, they'll let you know that we whined about it every week. every time, every woman asks, "So, have you made yours? Have you made yours?" And every week we struggled with it, almost down to the very end. We struggled. In fact, somehow God gave us a number, and we thought that's what we were supposed to go with. And then the morning of pledge weekend, he decided that was our 1 year gift, and so it became a lot more than we thought it was going to be.
Came 3 times that amount.
We weren't quite ready for that. We weren't sure how that was going to happen for us. We were at a place in our lives where we were thinking about starting a family. We wanted to buy a house, and then all this came up.
Yeah, and you really didn't have an idea of how any of those things would come to be, and yet as you began to go through that year, opportunities began to present themselves.
We were fairly certain none of that would happen if we pledged the crazy campaign.
Because see, we have this fear that if I do what God asked me to do, then he's going to strip me bare of everything I dream for or hope for, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. That's what I believed, totally. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things just progressed, and we made the commitment like we knew we were supposed to. And then my wife changed jobs, and her salary decreased by $16,000 a year. Wow. And I said, that's funny, God.
God's funny that way.
As if it wasn't crazy enough, I said, you're really going to have to show up in a big way now. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And then the opportunity to buy a house came along, and you guys were able to complete that while maintaining your crazy campaign commitment.
We did. We had, like you had mentioned before, we had 12-year-old cars just like you did, and we knew that was going to come. And then we had an opportunity to buy a house, and I'll let you know that God's faithful. We've bought the house. My car has 224,000 and still going.
Awesome.
So when you're obedient, it happens.
Yeah. And then about really the first of this year, you began to hear about Emma. I mean, another one of your dreams that you'd had that you thought, well, this is going to have to be put off until the end of this. We're really crazy was going to be done in a month or two. But before that's up, Emma comes into your life. You hear about her, and then all of a sudden you have her here. Explain that to us a little bit.
Well, we had always known that we would expand our family by adoption. And so we started the private route and were active for about a month and a half and heard from a friend we used to attend church with before Crosspoint. And she had a woman who had contacted her looking for an adoptive family. So we kind of switched gears. We felt like the entire journey for Emma coming to our home was completely filled with God. He was behind everything, obviously. Every time we felt like we were hitting a roadblock and something new would come up, there would be new information that came, and we were like, okay, we're supposed to continue on this. So we switched gears and got our foster parent license. So we are fostering to adopt Emma. And she came to our house about 2 weeks ago on Wednesday. I got a call on Tuesday at about 4 o'clock, and they said, come pick her up at noon tomorrow. So here she is.
How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Yeah. Now, I know that this is about a three-month period of time. I mean, you're fostering right now, hoping to adopt, and yet there still is the chance that she may be returned to her original family.
Right.
And you guys are praying through this, and it's a big deal. I mean, talk about surrender. As much as you would long to have a child in your home, you're treating her as if she's your own. You're investing in her as if you're gonna, you know, she's gonna be in your home till she's 18 or 20 or 30, however, you know, 40. And yet, you realize that this could be a foster situation, and you're even praying that way, not for what you want, but for what's best for her. How hard is that? Is that hard?
It's hard. We met her in January. We got to meet her in January, and so we've had weekend visits, and you know, we fell in love with her in the first 3 hours that we met her. And so, as heartbreaking as it would be for her to not end up with us, if God's plan for her future means that she goes back to birth parents or she ends up with another family, as long as that's what God's plan is, that's what we're praying for. Wow. Because we know that He has her future in His best interest. And if that doesn't include us, that sucks for us. But, you know, we want her to have the best future that she can have.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, can I pray for you amidst this community as you continue down this journey? I mean, this is another one of those pictures of what we learn as we go through these processes of surrender. And this is a big one. I mean, when you talk about your kids, it's a big deal. Let's pray. Join me in praying. God, we thank you for Chris and for Holly, for their obedience to you, for just them being, their hearts being pliable and sensitive to what you would ask them to do. And God, you know, that takes us to interesting places, and we realize it puts us out in places where we have the ability to experience hurt and pain, disappointment if things don't go our way, and yet right now, God, we're just trusting as they are praying, God, for the best possible scenario to come about for Emma, and if that's with them, we celebrate that. If that's her returning to her birth family, and them being in a place where she can return to them, we celebrate that as well, but God, we just, it's another place of surrender, and we pray for them as they continue to pour themselves into her over these next 3 months, and just thank you. Thank you right now for what you are doing. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris and Holly, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing and letting a whole bunch of people see how God could work in the same way in their life. Thank you. Let's thank them for sharing this morning. Awesome. You know, this is, again, this is what this journey has been about, this idea of surrender. And, you know, I don't know that there's a higher level of surrender. I mean, we can talk about money, we can talk about our jobs, but when it comes to our children, that's a whole different level. And yet, this is kind of a picture of what some of these families are going to be coming in just a moment are coming to do. They're basically coming to say, we acknowledge that our children are gifts to us. They're not ours. We don't own them, but we are here to steward them, to shape them, to nurture them, to pour our lives into them, but ultimately, these children are God's. They're God's blessing to us that we get the chance to steer and shape for a number of years. And so at Crosspoint, we practice this act of dedicating children. And we find this in the Bible. We find this throughout the scriptures. In fact, Jesus' parents brought him to be dedicated, to be presented before the Lord. And they brought him to the temple at a very young age and presented him. We also see another fascinating example in the Old Testament with a woman by the name of Hannah, who was actually pleading, very similar to Chris and I, pleading for a child. She was barren. She didn't have a child. And she's pleading with God that God would allow her to give birth to a child. And as a result of that, you know, she continues to pray and ask God and says, God, if you do this, I will acknowledge that this is a gift from you. I can't create this myself. This is truly a gift from you. And in fact, one day she goes to the temple and she's praying outside the temple. And the priest Eli is right there and he sees her praying. And he says to her, he's like, you know, he says, there are words that are not coming out of her mouth, but her mouth is moving like she's talking. And so he goes over to her, you know, he says to her, he's like, well, you need to get off the wine and the beer a bit. You know, it looks like you're drunk. And she's like, no, I'm not drunk. This is God's Spirit in me. I'm actually pouring my heart out to God right here. And so shortly after that, God actually, gives her a child. He blesses her with a child. In fact, here's what she says in verse 27 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, right after she receives this gift of a child. She said, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And so Hannah recognized that her child was a gift from God. She realized right off the bat, this was from God. And so as our families come forward right here, in a very real sense, this is what this dedication moment is going to be about. This is about these parents saying, these children are gifts. I'm bringing these children, our children, and really doing two things. One, we're acknowledging that they are a gift from God. And two, we're recognizing as parents our role and responsibility in nurturing, shaping, raising, growing, mentoring, coaching, modeling. And so that's what these parents are coming to do. And so as they come, I'm going to have you guys go right down on this end. As they come, I just want to remind us that those are the commitments that they are coming to make right now. And in a real sense, this is not just a dedication of these children, but this is also a dedication of each of these parents. And as you're going to find in a few moments, I'm going to ask these parents to commit to some vows that are a part of this covenant of presenting their children today. And at the end of this time, I'm going to invite you, the tribe of Crosspoint, to covenant with them as well, because you play a role in this. You play a significant role in these young families raising their children up in a godly way.